sense.
Welcome to Changes in Latitudes, a transgender experience. A 40-something genderqueer person shares their observations, life stories, and the adventures of their journey through transition and beyond. And now, here's your host, the creator of it all, Charlie Sabrina Miller.
Hey, hello. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome back to another great episode. But before we get to anything, as always, let's listen to that band.
Yeah, I love them. You know I love them.
And I hope you love them, too. I hope that's one of the reasons you keep coming back for more. Wow. Episode 67 and a brand new year. Happy New Year, everyone. It's the first of 2016. And I'm so glad that if you happen to be listening to this on the day that it dropped, that I'm helping you welcome in the new year. Our band this episode is Baby New Year and I Can't Believe I'm Getting Older Orchestra. Yeah, they get better every week. I swear they do. Maybe it's just my ears. But I'm pretty damn sure they get better every week. Well, welcome new listeners. If this is your first episode, welcome aboard this crazy train ride of a podcast called Changes in Latitudes, a transgender experience. Glad that you're with us. This is I don't want to say a pivotal episode, but it's a new year. And this episode that, you know, I always drop on a Friday, and so this episode happens to be on the first of the year. It's kind of pivotal. I have a feeling that in the future, people will, take a look at it a little more often than other episodes, just because. You know, it's a new year and it's just start of something fresh. You know, New Year's resolutions always come to mind, and we'll get to that stuff later. I got a good list of things to get to. In fact, coming up, you know, the whole Happy New Year thing, we're going to talk about New Year's goals. I don't want to call them resolutions, they're goals, because I think if you fall shy of a goal, you get a chance to kind of revamp it. You know, well, I didn't make it by the day that I wanted to, so I will reset my date and reset my goal. Whereas a resolution, if you fall short of your resolution, you feel, you know, like shit. You feel, oh man, I failed. I mean, that's not necessarily the case, but it just has that feeling behind it. So I'm going to call them goals. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're coming back with another one of the famous women share their best advice that they've either given or received. That's one of our countdown things I do in the episodes here. We're on number 12 out of 25, so we're kind of right in the middle. I got a secondary topic. Yeah, some recent observations is what I'm going to call it up front here. And, as I'm sitting here recording, for those new listeners that don't know, I just kind of make an outline and go off the cuff and, you know, roll with it, you might say. That's kind of my thing. That's my style. And I just go off my outline. And if I go on a tangent, well, hey, you know, that's part of the show. I've been thinking recently, on and off, probably for about a month now, that I want to change the title of the section. You know, I have been calling it secondary topic, because that's really what it is. I got the main topic, and then I got a secondary topic that I talk about. And then usually the secondary topic's a little more upbeat or a little more lighthearted. Not all the time, but usually, just because the main topic is usually kind of heavy. It's got a lot of thought process to it and takes up more time in the episode. So if you have an idea of a title for the section where the secondary topic comes in, write to me, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com, and I'll take them in. If it works for me, I'll use it exactly as you send it. Maybe I'll tweak it a little bit. Maybe we'll private message back and forth or email back and forth, and you know, we'll what is it, punch it up together. I don't know. Just a thought. Send me your thoughts on that. I'll come up with something eventually. I know I will. It'll hit me like a ton of bricks usually. But I want to hear from you folks. I want to see Because, yes, I'm the host and I'm the editor and I created the whole damn thing and I chose the music and I, you know, lug the equipment around to record guests or I schedule time, you know, to talk to guests over Skype or set aside time to sit down and record, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, it's all me, of course. Well, you know, that's my thing. But as I've mentioned in previous episodes, the podcasting is a synergistic thing. You know, I spend the time putting it together. You spend time listening to it. And, you know, if you're so inclined, which I always appreciate, you send feedback in, and that's pretty goddamn awesome. So it's very synergistic, and I love that about this. So I'm giving you folks a chance to help me name the secondary topic part of our show. So if you got a name, send it my way. Gonna have some listener feedback. Not a lot. Not a lot. We'll get to that later. And before we get to all of that, let's just briefly, you know, recap last week's episode, just because that's what I usually do. Last week's episode was the second annual Christmas music episode. And it kind of came as almost an accident, really. The very first year that I was putting this all together, which was 2014, I was trying to struggle for not necessarily a holiday topic, but that's what I'm going to say is a holiday topic, a seasonal topic, a Christmas topic. You know, that's what I've celebrated in my life. You know, I've been invited to celebrate Hanukkah at friends' homes. I've seen, you know, the tidbits of Kwanzaa, and I know there's a ton of other things out there as well. Some of the Nordic stuff with the candles on the heads, on your head, with the wreath. I don't know much about it, but I know a smidgen about it, really just a smidge. And, you know, so I know that there's tons of ways that people celebrate the holiday that falls in December. And so for me in my history, it's Christmas. So that's where I'm going to gravitate towards. But however you celebrate the holiday season, be festive, be joyous, celebrate. You know, the whole concept of the season, you know, be nice to others, give back to others, that whole thing. I honestly think we should do it, you know, the other 11 months of the year. But yeah, that can kind of burn people out. I get that. But would it be such a bad thing? Anyway, first year I was putting together the Christmas music episode, I was trying to come up with a holiday topic, and I was bouncing ideas off my wife, and she said, why don't you just put some music out there? It's Christmas. Give them Christmas music. And I went, hey, that's I can do that, because it won't take a lot of thought. I mean, some thought, of course, choosing the songs and figuring out what I'm going to say in their intro or outro or however I use them. You know, I mean, that took thought, don't get me wrong. But it's not as heavy a thought as a topic for the show, you know, something I'm going to talk about for 20-30 minutes. So when she said that, I went, yeah. And then as I put the wraparounds together and then was piecing my parts with the songs together, I realized, you know, I should do this every year just because it's a fun thing to do. And I decided a long time ago that every few episodes, I'm going to make sure that it's just a lot of fun. Because, well, life's too short. The topic of the show, transgender experience, that's just heavy in and of itself right there. So, you know, let's lighten it up a little bit every now and again. Remember to smile, you know, that. Remember to laugh. I mean, it's just, why the fuck not, right? So that's how the Christmas episode got pulled together. And so this year, well, 2015, last year technically, was the second annual. So I threw together, I don't know, I think it was about 16, 17, 18, maybe 19 songs. I was moving them around quite frequently during the piecing together time that I was using. So just shy of 20 songs and some intros to them, you know, what they mean to me. So feel free to share that episode with family, because it's not a heavy topic. I don't believe I used any profanity. I might have. That's why I'm leaving it as an explicit on the feed. But it's just a fun show. So, I mean, I know if you're listening in like July, right, you may not want to be listening to Christmas songs, but I did throw in some, you know, bits and pieces of stories and things. So fast forward through the songs, listen to what I have to say and get through it in, I don't know, half an hour maybe. I don't know, maybe 45 minutes. I don't know. I don't really remember how long my actual talking parts were. my talking parts. That's just my mouth. Anyway, so that's what that was last episode, number 66. I hope you enjoyed it if you listened to it in the season of the time that it came around, or if you just, you know, enjoy Christmas music almost any time. I hope you enjoyed it. I really do. And thank you so much for listening. I appreciate that. I welcome the new listeners. And of course, and now I want to make sure I welcome all the long-time listeners. You folks are the backbone of the whole thing. Well, maybe not the backbone. That's not probably a good way to put it. I'm the backbone since I put the whole thing together and I spend the time putting it together. So we'll just say I'm the backbone. So that would make you the legs, the feet, the thing that carries the show. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. All right. And I don't know, we'll fill in the torso later. That's not as important, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Or if you got something to say to me, send it to the Facebook page or the through email. And you know that I love you. You guys, you ladies, you folks, you people of all shapes and colors and sizes and backgrounds and presentations to surmise it, identities. Thank you. Thank you so much for being there week after week. As I mentioned just a moment ago, it's a synergistic thing, and it means so much to me to know that you're listening, that to know that you're enjoying the show. So, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, all past episodes can be found at Changes in Latitudes Podcast at blogspot.com. That's kind of where I house everything. You can find everything there. But, of course, search us on iTunes. Search us out on Stitcher. I'm sure if you throw it into Google, you're going to get stuff. But Blogspot's where you're going to find, like, the RSS feed. So if that's something you're looking for, that's where you're going to find it if you're not an iTunes or Stitcher person. And I get it. That's cool. Speaking of iTunes and Stitcher, if you use either one of those, take a moment and give us a rating and feedback and review, because it really helps the show in a way that you, the average listener, may not know. Or maybe you do know, and you've already done it. And if you have, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But it really helps the show grow. It helps with the algorithms in the background of both of those things. And any podcatcher you use, there's going to have the same type of algorithms, probably a little more centered around your specific tastes, you know, but it takes an algorithm in. So when it, you know, gives feedback to the podcast creators like myself, it says, oh, yeah, the demographic of people downloading it in the first week is this, and people... Here's the number of people that do it on the average month, that sort of thing. It just helps the show grow. And, you know, it's only going to take you 5 minutes, maybe max. And that's, and I'm talking about the thought you're going to have right now. Oh, Jesus Christ, what would I say? From that moment until you say, all right, I'm done. And here I am. Click send. It may not be a straight 5 minutes unless you have it right up in front of you and you're typing in right now. But in that process where you're stopping to think about, yeah, I should go rate them on iTunes, Stitcher, my favorite podcatcher, what have you. Probably about 5, maybe 7 minutes to think about what you're going to do. You know, the title is usually the one that takes me the longest personally. Because I kind of just ramble on in the, I wouldn't say ramble on, but I pretty much put my sentences together pretty straightforward in the review section. Anyway, if you use those, take a moment or five and write us a review. And if you've done it, as I mentioned, thank you. Facebook.com/Changes in Latitudes Podcast is our Facebook page, and I do a lot of interacting there. Feel free to post articles if you find an article that you like or anything like that. Join in the fun, post it on the page. I love interacting with you folks there. You can message me on the page. I respond usually pretty fast, depends on what's going on in my daily life. And you give me about, I don't know, 24 hours, and I usually respond. And I post things that are, you know, on topic as transgender things, articles, what have you. And then I post stuff that is totally non-related, you know, fun stuff, heavy stuff, serious stuff, whatever it is. I'm pretty active out there. So go to facebook.com/changesinlatitudespodcast, find the page, like the page. Be sure to click get notifications, because if you don't have notifications hit, you're not going to see anything unless you go to the page and look for it. Send me an email at changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to, follow me on Twitter at Sabrina41. I don't really use Twitter so much. Again, it's an offshoot of Facebook where I post other things that kind of make me go, huh, that's kind of cool. Stuff that I share usually. I don't have any original posts. But I'm out there on Twitter at SabrinaMiller41. And while you're out there on the internet, the Google, the what have you out there, your browser, check out patreon.com/changesinlatitudespodcast and consider becoming a patron of the arts. You know, like just like back in the day of Leonardo da Vinci, right? He had patrons paying him to do that artwork. Come on. It's just how it works. That's just how history is. So check out our Patreon page. You can give as little as a dollar and as much as you'd like. I've got different reward levels broken down. So that's there. Check that out. There's a little video telling you how Patreon works. And it's such a wonderful site to support artists creating original content and giving it back to you. And this episode is brought to you by our patron, Caitlin G. Caitlin, thank you so much for all that you do for the show. Specifically, being the very first guest outside of a couple, you know, close to home people. She was my first Skype guest for the show. Episodes 29 and 30, you can hear her interview. And I want to get you back on in 2016, Caitlin. I want to kind of do a check-in. Is really what I want to do. And I'm going to do it with our friend Addison, too, from I think it was episode 40, 41, somewhere right in there, you know, maybe 39, 40. I don't have it off the top of my head right now, but it's right in that place. I want to get Addison back on as a check-in and a number of other new guests I want to get on the show. So I'll briefly talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I really want to thank Caitlin G. Caitlin, thank you for being a guest. Thank you for being one of the first followers and supporters of the show and a friend on Facebook. And then when I finally got around to getting the Patreon page up, becoming a patron as well. Thank you so very much. I want to let you know how much that means to me. And I'm glad that we're Facebook friends because it lets me into your world a little bit more and sees your ups and your downs just like everybody else. And it helps, well, center, you know, balance. And there's a word I keep using in the show. It helps keep things on the equal. And it's just so nice to have you there. So thank you so very much. All right, enough of this tangent crap in the beginning. I think we've done enough housekeeping for the new year. I think it's clean enough. I think we got it all done for now. Let's get out of here. Let's get some music rolling. I don't know what kind because I'll edit it later, you know. But let's have some music rolling and get us over into the main topic. All right, main topic, here we are. Here we are, main topic. First main topic of the new year, 2016. Well, I because it's the new year and because I do enjoy alcoholic adult beverages, specifically beer, let's just call it craft beer because that's what it is, I'm going to share one of my absolute favorites with you this episode, and that is something called Black Marlin Porter by Ballast Point Brewing. It's a local brewery here in San Diego, but they are starting to grow tremendously. So I'd say if you're, well, anywhere in the United States for damn sure, check out maybe in a specialized store, you know, that sells predominantly alcohol. You can find wines, you can find high-end spirits, you know, high expensive whiskeys and vodkas, etc., etc. Sometimes hard to find soda pops are there too, or sodas. I don't really call it soda pop. I don't know why I said that. Anyhow, my wife and I stumbled on the brewery basically literally. We were just kind of, she has a better memory of this than I do, but I remember now. We were at our local store that serves specifically alcohol. I mean, it sells alcohol. It's called BevMo, Beverages More, is kind of what it stands for, but it's not because there's a whole other business called Beverages More or whatever, but this is called BevMo, and they sell all these types of alcohol drinks and some hard-to-find soda as well. And on Fridays, I don't know if they still do, but on Fridays, they used to have a beer tasting and you get, you know, six or seven, maybe four, depending on what it is and the season and all that. For like a dollar or two, you get to taste these and you can go buy them if you like them. And then on Saturdays, they used to do the same thing for wine, except they did that in the afternoon, whereas the beer was Friday night. And so we discovered Ballast Point Brewing one Friday night at a BevMo and said, hot damn, this is delicious. We bought some, we kept buying some, and eventually we made it out to their one of their local brewery slash tasting rooms. And we've watched that particular tasting room grow in size over the last 5-6 years now. And right off the bat, one of my all-time favorites has been this Black Marlin Porter beer. Now, it's heavier beer. It's a black beer. It's got a punch to it. So it's not for everyone. If you're a Coors or a Natural Light or something along those lines, there's a really good chance you're not going to like it. I still say open your palate, give it a taste, try. But there's, because of the style and type of beer, it's a thicker, heavier beer. You may not like it. And this particular brewery has all types of beer. I mean, if you are, as I said, a Coors or a Michelob or a, you know, Budweiser or Natural Light or something like that, Miller Lite even, if that's your beer, Samuel Adams even, if you like Samuel Adams, that's considered a craft beer. But you know, if that's your type of thing, they have so many different things available from this particular brewery. So if you are on the West Coast, California for sure, you're going to find, and probably all the way up the West Coast now, come to think of it, you're going to find Ballast Point Brewing and maybe some high-end bars, you know, bars that have a lot of taps. You might find that. Look for it is my thing. That's what I'm saying. Ballast Point. It's one of my favorites. And I wish they sponsored the show, but they don't. And, you know, whatever. I don't think this type of show is their type of show. I mean, it could be. It's beer. You know, beer goes with almost anything. Almost anything. Because I know there are non-beer drinkers. And for my non-alcoholic, consumers out there that enjoy the show, just skip over this part for a moment. You know, I'm just going to be talking about this. And I'll check in later with it. Because, as I said, they serve tons of different beers there. They have everything from a wheat beer, a very light-tasting summer wheat beer, to these porters, this porter, and then another one called Victory at Sea, which is just absolutely amazing. I almost chose that one for this episode, but I went with my absolute favorite because Victory at Sea is actually more of a seasonal thing, whereas Black Marlin Porter is available all the time, so that's why I went with that. They also have a number of IPAs. Well, not a number. They got a couple, three maybe now, and they got ales and lagers, and they're growing their menu. And the cool thing about them is all of their beers have the names of fish. As I said, this is Black Marlin Porter. Another IPA that I like is Sculpin IPA. Victory at Seas. There's a nautical theme to the whole such and such. The wheat beer, as I mentioned, is Wahoo Wheat, and that's the name of fish as well. So check them out if you can find them. Anyhow, this is a heavier beer, and it happens to be one of my favorites. Now, it's meant to be served just shy of room temperature. So, you know, if you're going to enjoy a heavier, darker beer, you go ahead and refrigerate it, of course. But take it out, depending on, you know, your atmosphere, about 30 minutes, maybe 15 minutes before consuming it. Or don't pour a lot. And whatever glass you have it in, hold your hands around and let it warm up the beer. Because the flavors of this darker beer really come out. And that's true for just about any dark beer. So if you go and you try a dark beer or have dark beer, you probably notice that later, you know, at the end of the glass, it tastes really damn good and you want more. Well, it tastes really damn good because it got warmed up. That's one thing. So that's one of the reasons I'm going to check in with the beer later in the episode. So if you're able to get some Black Marlin, join me. If you're able to get any sort of beer, join me in the festivities for this New Year's episode. It's a heavy beer. It sits on the tongue. It's pretty full-bodied is another way to put it. It's just so delicious. So delicious. All right, so the main topic, aside from me sharing this beer with you at the top of the topic so I can talk about it later, is podcast goals, you know, podcast resolutions, and some life resolutions as well, because, you know, I'm human. But for the podcast, I'm going to start with the Patreon page because that's really, you know, those people involved are really into the show. They're invested in the show. So that's where I'm going to address first. One of my biggest goals is to get an episode out a week ahead of publishing time. So if my goal was already in place, this episode would actually be available to my patrons over on Patreon as of the 25th of December, a week ago, and so forth and so forth. And then it'll become publicly available on the actual 1st. And that's how I'm going to record it. You know, I mean, everybody will know on Patreon they're getting it a week early. That's the thing. And of course, you know, if it's the dates and if it's important, I'll mention it, like this one. This one's the first of the year. So that's one of my goals. The challenge with that goal is I'm a stay-at-home parent. I take care of the kid majority of the time, and I make sure that, you know, things are done around the house, you know, shopping and cleaning and dishes and stuff like that. You know, so that's a big thing. And with podcasting, it's not like something that you're able to really multitask with. At least not for me, because you got to put headphones on, so you're shutting out the world, so you can't keep an ear out for something, you know, like a kid. you can't really watch television and edit, you know, and without giving it your full attention. So it's really a focused sort of work to do with the podcast. And same thing with recording. I got to, you know, exclude myself from family to record. So, you know, it's got its ups and downs, just like everything in life. So trying to find that time to focus on the show, specifically the editing, that's going to take the most time, is the biggest challenge. So that's my number one goal, but that's what's heavy on my head, is in regards to the podcast. I really want to maintain that goal that I put forth. I don't know if your longtime listeners know, it's been about, I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 months when I first said that. So it's a goal. And the challenge is just shuffling my time. Yeah. I also want to offer some more bonus material over on Patreon. You know, I'd really like to put together some tutorials, you know, like a makeup tutorial. Somebody asked for that a long time ago, and I went, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, Patreon makes it available. To do, you know, for a very specific audience that I know is going to be interested in. That's what that is. So you know, makeup, then there was the whole thing, one whole episode about personal grooming that I did. I don't remember. That was quite a while ago, actually. And so somebody made a comment or something about my technique of shaving. So that might be another video to put out. And that's what I mean by videos, not just audio things, but videos. And again, that takes time to set up the video, to make sure the lighting is correct, make sure I look okay, or at least okay for the particular video, and then time for editing. And again, you got to, you know, put the headphones on, focus on the image. So it takes its time. Some other topics, for Patreon specific, I'd like to really try to offer more specific bonus material. So this one goes out to the patrons, or people who are, you know, thinking of and wanting to become patrons. What are you wanting to hear or see or learn about or ask about that I can really give back to the patrons? So that's what I want to really ask you folks out there. What bonus material, you know, that you would you like to see? Would you like to hear about? Would you like to learn about, or something? Something that I'm not going to talk about and leave, you know, endlessly open on the internet for anyone in the future to listen to, just because, you know, I'm a person and I got to keep certain things private. But to a, you know, very limited, exclusive audience of my patrons, well, that's who I want to hear from. Also, I really want to get guests for the show, more guests for the show. And I've been in touch with a good number of people. And when the reach out happens, the timing is just piss poor. Mostly for me. sometimes for the person, but mostly for me. And that's just because of timing of things. You know, so I have time available, they don't. They have time available, I don't. It's just crazy. So one of my goals is to get more guests on the show. I really want to focus on that and bring back guests. So if you've been a previous guest and you want to come back, please shoot me a message. Let's do it. As far as those that have been in touch with me, give me through the end of January to reach back out to you and, you know, start to finalize time to record, because that's the biggest thing as far as the calendar is concerned. And let's make sure this happens, okay? Okay. But if you're thinking about being a guest, reach out to me too. changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com or the Facebook page messenger, whatever's easiest for you. send it to me. Let's start communicating and setting up a time. And it may take, you know, I may say, okay, in 3 weeks on a Saturday morning, how about that? So that's kind of where my scheduling is falling, just because of family stuff and, you know, that's life. I also want to answer more listeners' questions. But the problem with that is I need listeners' questions. I need questions from the listener. The best way to get a question to me is probably the Facebook Messenger or email, because that way I can archive it. I keep an email archive, and if it's sent to me as a tweet, I still archive it in my mail, but it's a couple extra steps. And so if I'm busy at the moment in time that I noticed a tweet, I have not always, but I have forgotten to go back and get them. So tweeting is decent, but it's not the best. The best would be Facebook or email. So if you've got something to ask or what have you, send it to me. Ask me away. Some questions I may not answer on the air, but I'll answer more so in email one-on-one, because, you know, you're taking the time to reach out and ask. I'll take the time to respond. That's for sure. It's just a matter of if I'm going to put it on the show or not. I'd love to be able to put it on the show, but there may be some topics that we just don't talk about like that. I'd also like to share, the only word that comes to my mind is deeper stories, which falls in line of, you know, what do you want to hear? Send me questions, send me things, you know, about whatever it may be, send it to me, and I'll be more than glad to answer. But to be able to answer those deeper questions, I need questions from you, you know, to go off on those stories and tangents and what have you about whatever it may be. I need that feedback from you. So send it my way. Send it my way. Which is actually technically another goal. I have a wonderful group of, I'm just going to say, responders that are out there on the internet that reach back to me. You know, they'll hear an episode and they'll say, hey, just heard episode 66 and, oh, it was fantastic. I really liked it. And sometimes they're deeper. Yeah, I really liked the way that you shared the story of blah, 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 when you first did such and such and such and such. You know, whatever it is. And so I've got a really good regular crowd of return listeners that get back to me, I'd say within a month of the show dropping. And that's a fair, I consider you all not first time listeners, early listeners. You know, you listen at the moment that it's the newest, it seems. But it's the people that listen later. I want to let you know now, even though you're probably listening to this in July, or you're binge listening, or however you're doing it. If you've got something to say, send it to me. You know, I know you may think that it's, I know you may think, oh, this is too late. I'm listening 6 months old. Talk to me. Send it to me. It's okay. It's okay, because this show is such a complex flux of thoughts and stream of consciousness words that meld together and become a show that whatever you're thinking, send it to me. Send it to me. Even if you're listening, you know, even if it's a question from some of the early episodes before I came out as genderqueer, when I still define myself as a trans woman, as transgender. Well, it's still transgender, but as a trans woman versus a genderqueer, gender fluid, feminine person. Send it. Send it to me. Reach back to me. I'm putting the show together. I'm sharing my story for just that exact same sort of thing. So don't be afraid. Send it in. And like I said, I may not answer it on the air, but I'll for damn sure respond to your email or message or whatever it is. So that's my thought of making the show grow for this next year. One of the goals, one of the things I want to do is make the show grow. There's 230-something likes on Facebook, which is so awesome. That's awesome to be above 200. I'm ecstatic. But we've been hovering in that 220, 230 range for, as of the first of the year, probably a good almost 2 months now. And I'd like to see that grow as well. I'd like to see a little more the numbers and the likes go up, just because it's part of the game on Facebook, you might say. But I am so grateful to have those 230-something people out there liking the Facebook page. Now, don't forget to go in and say get notifications. And you may have to do that on a laptop or on your browser on your phone, because the app doesn't allow that. At least on my iPhone, it doesn't. So that might just be me. But yeah, you got to check the notifications or else you're not going to see anything unless it gets a lot of likes and then you'll see it. So make sure you click to get notifications. Of course, and another goal that's almost obvious is, you know, raise the numbers of downloads, you know, get that download audience out there downloading, get more listeners that way, more subscribers that way. And I think that's true for almost any podcast. A personal goal, this is actually part of the secondary topic that I'll get to later, but since we're on the goals, you know, section of this show, this episode, I realized that I need to do more live performing. I've realized that. I've missed it. It holds a very special place in my soul. So I gotta do more of that. But like I said, I'll talk more about that in secondary topic. Another goal is I'd like to do more things with my son, go out and do more things. He's getting to the age where it's a lot easier to go out and do things, and it's good to go out and do things, soak up as much culture and environment and knowledge as possible. And either due to weather, time, money as far as gas goes specifically, because there's a lot of free things to do, I know that. I want to try to do more with my son. So there's a goal. Here's one of the goals. I'd like to do more around the house as far as fix up. I don't want to say fix up because that makes it sound broken and it's not. Improvements, we'll say. You know, it's good now, but it could be better, whatever that is. There's dozens of them, and if you're a homeowner, you completely understand. But those sorts of things, I'd like to do more of those. I want to hang out with friends more. I haven't had much of a chance, and that's being a new father, and that's being a new parent. You know, it's just the way it is. I haven't had a chance for, you know, hanging out with friends, so I want to do more of that. And that one I should have an easier time with now that, again, that the child's older. Of course, as I mentioned a couple episodes back, you know, Confessions of a Transgender Queer Fluid Person. Yeah, be a better person all around. You know, be better than better yourself. You know, I mean, we're already, you know, I feel I'm good, but I want to be better. So, you know, that sort of raise it up sort of thing. Now for a check-in on the Black Marlin. It's been sitting out for however long it's been sitting out, which I did leave it out before recording, so it's already at kind of room temperature. It is just so, I can't, I have such a hard time with my palate words. Choosing words to describe things like this. It's just so rich, so tasty, so, it's got a bitter taste. If you like black coffee or that coffee taste, good chance you'll like the beer. And that's almost true of most porters or stouts. That, you know, if you enjoy darker coffee and richer coffee flavors, that you'll enjoy that. So, that's a first check-in with the beer. We'll see where it goes for the rest of it. So those are some of the goals that I've run through my mind in the last few weeks while putting this episode together. And more than likely going to check in with them during the, you know, the Confessions of a Transgender Queer Fluid Person year two, or part two, or whatever I named it, later in the year. And right now, let's just move on.
When you need a professional who specializes in writing, photography, or web design, contact Tom Slayton. At Tom's website, tomslayton.com, you'll find brilliant WordPress themes, discounts and links for fantastic online services, and sage wisdom from the master himself, Tom Slayton. TomSlayton.com even features a wonderful eclectic collection of photographs seldom seen elsewhere. Visit TomSlayton.com. That's TomSlayton.com.
Tom Slayton, Tom Slayton, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Happy New Year. Thank you so very much for sponsoring the show. I am so grateful that our paths crossed in 2015. It's just been a wonderful friendship that's evolved. Thank you so much. Folks, check out TomSlayton.com. This week, I want to talk about a quote that he has there. It's a simple quote. It's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Simple quote, "The earth laughs in flowers." And when I first read it, I went, wow, that's profound. That's deep. That's, And so I decided to refresh myself on, you know, who Ralph Waldo Emerson was. just a little bit of, you know, Wikipedia or, you know, first Google page results sort of thing, you know, just to refresh the mind. Because I remember studying him briefly in school, you know, because that's how they fast they move in school. And so I wanted to refresh myself. And in doing so, I found, well, just for you folks, he was an American poet, lecturer, essayist, who lived from 1803 to 1882, lived to be 78, which back in that time, I mean, well, even nowadays is a nice thing, but back then was really something. So Google him if you don't know, you know, who he is or you want to learn more about him. But in my searching for this quote, I found the poem that this quote came from, and it's called, I'm probably going to butcher it, Hamatreya. So when I discovered it came from a poem, I started trying to figure out, you know, when he wrote the poem, what the poem was in specific regards to, and I couldn't find, you know, any of that information. I'm sure if I dug really deep into the internet, I could find it. But most of the time, the results came up as quotes. And I said, no, I don't want quotes. I want to know about this poem. And so I didn't get any results back that was really worth sharing and that you couldn't find yourself. But this poem was moving. I started reading it and I was like, wow, this is, wow, okay. And so I'm going to share it with you. Bulky, Hunt, Willard, Hosmer, Merriam, Flint, possessed the land which rendered to their toil. Hay, corn, roots, hemp, flax, apples, wool, and wood. Each of these landlords walked amidst his farms, saying, 'Tis mine, my children's, and my name's. How sweet the west wind sounds in my own trees. How graceful climb those shadows on my hill. I fancy these pure waters and the flags know me, as does my dog. We sympathize, and I affirm my actions smack of the soil. Where are these men, asleep beneath their grounds, and strangers, fond as they, their furrows plow? Earth laughs in flowers to see her boastful boys, earth proud, proud of the earth which is not theirs, who steer the plow, but cannot steer their feet clear of the grave. They added ridge to valley, brook to pond, and sighed for all that bounded their domain. This suits me for a pasture. That's my park. We must have clay, lime, gravel, granite ledge, and misty lowland. Where to go for peat? The land is well, lies fairly to the south. 'Tis good when you have crossed the sea and back, to find the sit-fast acres where you left them. Ah, the hot owner sees not death, who adds him to his land, a lump of mold the more. Hear what the earth say. Earth song. Mine and yours, mine, not yours. Earth endures, stars abide. Shine down in the old sea. Old are their shores. But where are old men? I who have seen much, such have I never seen. The lawyer's deed ran sure, entailed to them and to their heirs, who shall succeed, without fail. Furthermore, here is the land, shaggy with wood, with its old valley, mound, and flood. But the heritors fled like the flood's foam, the lawyer and the laws, and the kingdom, clean swept herefrom. They called me theirs. Who so controlled me? Yet everyone wished to stay, and is gone. How am I theirs, if they cannot hold me, but I hold them? When I heard the earth song, I was no longer brave. My avarice cooled, like lust in the chill of the grave. So I read that and I said, wow, holy cow, how profound to look at the earth in that way, that it is so much greater than we are. And it's so true. So very true. The earth has been around for millions of years. Man, it's a speck. It's just a blink. So, yeah. So, folks, check out TomSlayton.com. He's got not only quotes from like Ralph Waldo Emerson that I just, you know, took me off on a tangent, but he's got beautiful pictures there. He's got WordPress themes, as it says. Search out on Google TomSlayton.com or just type it in your search bar. It'll come up. And so much there. As I've said before, it's a great rest stop on the internet. All right, let's check back in with the Ballast Point Black Marlin Porter. Like I said, I'm having a hard time describing it, but I'm really enjoying it. I've been sipping it. I haven't really been, you know, indulging. So I'm only about maybe not even a quarter of the way through this bottle of a 22-ounce, because that's how they sell it. And I usually, when I have one, it's an evening drink. It takes me a couple hours because it's that type of beer. It's not a chugging beer. It's a sipping beer. Not sips, but large mouthfuls with a decent amount of time in between. But what I'm really enjoying about it is that I haven't had it in a very long time. And it wasn't a Christmas gift, but it was a gift that happened around Christmas. I'll say it that way. Five famous women share the best advice that they've either given or received. And as I've said before, this is part of The Cut, which was published on AOL. And there's going to be a link in the show notes located over on Blogspot for this episode number 67. Because the link is just far too long to even go through. It's got a lot of numbers and slashes and dashes, and it's just crazy. This week we're on number 12, about halfway through, just shy of halfway, but then next episode, number 13, is going to be over halfway, so, you know, you got to split the difference, so we'll say halfway. This one is done by Sandra Oh, and I'll admit I had to look her up. I hadn't heard of her. I feel kind of out of it that I hadn't. But she's done stuff that is just, I haven't seen. I just haven't seen. So her quick bio from IMDb. Sandra Oh was born to Korean parents in the Ottawa suburb of Nepean, Ontario, Canada. And please accept my apology now for butchering any names. Her father, Oh Jun-soo, a businessman, and her mother, Oh Young-nam, a biochemist, were married in Seoul, South Korea. They both attended graduate school at the University of Toronto. Sandra began her career as a ballet dancer and eventually studied drama at the National Theatre School in Montreal. And she went on to do different productions. She was in Mamet's Oleana, and it was the title character in the television production The Diary of Evelyn Lau, and a lot of other things. So there's more on IMDb. Go search her out. Sandra Oh, and O is spelled O-H. Her quote, "It's not a sprint, it's a marathon." I've got to tell you, that serviced me so many times. It's big picture thinking. Now, I'll admit, when I first read that, I kind of went, huh? What? Okay, I get the first part. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Okay, you know, you're in for the long distance, not the short. I get that. And then that serviced me many times. Okay, so that makes sense. She's used it many times to remind herself. But the part of it that's, it's big picture thinking. I had to stop and just kind of step back, like you would with a large picture in a museum. And it's looking at the big picture. It's taking things in stride. Life's a journey, not a destination. Enjoy it. Stop and smell the roses. Realize that time passes. Take each moment for each moment. You know, take a moment as it comes. That sort of thing is what I got from that quote. And it means a lot, because so many, I mean, more so in bigger cities, but so many people forget to stop and smell the roses. Check out the small things. Be grateful for the small wins, the small, you know, fun things that happen in their life, whatever they may be. So that's number 12. We've got 25 total. So like I said, we're right in the middle there. We've got 13 left. And I'm kind of digging on this countdown thing, count up thing, whatever you want to call it. So if you've got lists or something out there that you find interesting, send them my way and they'll take the spot right here. Okay, we finally made it to secondary topic. I've alluded to it so many times throughout this episode. And this episode is just kind of a rambling, I've noticed. It's just the way things are going this episode. So I'm having fun. Hope you are too. Secondary topic. But before we get to that, let's check in with the Black Marlin Porter. Still not quite halfway, a little more than quarter way. And like I said, I like to savor it. Now that the bottle has been opened for almost an hour and change now, it's got a chance to breathe like wine does, and even that brings out the flavors. I really enjoy dark beer. All right, so now let's get into the secondary topic. As I mentioned a couple episodes ago and earlier in this episode, I did a show. I was in a theater production, local theater production here. And again, because it's the internet and because it's a podcast that's going to be available for ages to come, I don't need that tidbit of information out there. If you're curious about the production, reach out to me in all the ways that I've mentioned so far, and I'll answer any questions, share anything you want to know with it. But as I said earlier in this episode, it was so rewarding. I hadn't done anything since, I mean, really dug into a role on stage since 2008. And this production took place in the winter, you know, November and December of 2015. So we're looking at a good 7 years, seven and almost a half years. And I missed it. I knew I missed it, but it's work. Plain and simple, it's work. It's work learning the lines. It's work creating the characters. It's work remembering how you're going to move as the character, whether you call it blocking or motivational movement, whatever that genre type thought process works for you. However you're going to call it, it's the movement on stage and why the person moves on stage, whatever it may be. And for a chance to do this particular show, this is a unique show in that there are vignettes, which are short stories, let's just call it. There's 9 of them throughout the entire piece. One of them is broken into 3 segments. One happens at the beginning of the show, one happens at the top, just after coming back from intermission, so the top of Act 2, and one happens at the very end of the show. It's a kind of a 3-part scene that makes sense, and it's a fun little trio, way to bookend and nicely package the other 8 scenes. And the other 8 scenes are, it's a romantic comedy about falling in and out of love, and it's a popular play right now. You may even know it by my description, and if that's the case, good for you for knowing it. If not, reach out to me and I'll tell you. And I was fortunate enough to play 5 different characters, because that's the uniqueness of this show. All the characters, which I believe are 20, are played by 4 different actors, 2 men, 2 women. And so each actor gets about 5 different roles to play, and 5 different characters to portray. And it was so fun to have the opportunity not just to create a character, which is pretty standard when you do a show, but create 5. And those 5 were so different and so much fun to explore in the short period of time that we had. And I loved it. And in doing so, I realized that I miss being in front of a live audience. That, just like podcasting, the synergistic relationship that you and I share is the same dynamic that is shared with a live audience. The only big difference, obviously, is that's immediately in the same space and time and room. And this is, you know, out there into the vastness, darkness of the internet, where you can be listening 5 years from now and still hear whatever I'm sharing. So it's a little bit different, but there's so many similarities. And I think that's one of the reasons why I do enjoy podcasting every week and putting out a new episode and thinking of topics and rambling on about whatever it is at the time. And I really did miss that. And longtime listeners will hopefully remember one of my things that I have been slightly working on. I did have to put it up on the shelf for a little bit as the schedule got busier in the summer. And then I took on this show, and now the holidays are here. So I'm working on a one-person show, basically telling my story in about an hour, hour and a half. And ultimately, my goal would be to take that around to different LGBT centers or schools or other such facilities that would want to hear, want to benefit from me sharing my story in a theatrical, dramatic, quote-unquote, way. So that's the ultimate goal. So I'm still working on that. It's just been shelved for a little bit here. I do plan on getting back to it very soon because I've had some more inspirational thoughts and things with it. So I want to dive back into that. So that was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed doing it. And this particular theater I'd worked at before a number of times, and it was so much fun to be reunited with so many long-lost, you know, friendly faces, that it was such a joy to be welcomed home, in a sense. Not so many words, but that was the feeling that I got from it. So it was very nice, very, very. And the group of people that I worked with was well, they were all fantastic actors. And the director was amazing as well. In fact, the director was so amazing that each individual in us grew in our acting styles and how we approach characters and what we do with those characters as we bring them to life. So it was overall all around a wonderful experience. And of course, being that this is New Year's, I can't not talk about Christmas. Christmas was so much fun. Why? Well, the kid. This is his first Christmas where he's really going to remember and talk about it for the next 6 months. I got such and such for Christmas. Santa brought me such and such for Christmas. Those sorts of things. And I mean, he got toys, a puzzle. He got a toy kitchen, some Play-Doh, slippers, some pajamas, some other clothes. I mean, the kid made out. It's Christmas, you know, for a three-year-old. And it was just so much fun. And then, of course, the Christmas meal was wonderful. And just sitting down as a family was wonderful. And it was a small family because we did not go out of town to visit my family this year. And that's just the way the calendar flows. So it was just a small of us here. And it was just lovely and wonderful. One of the things that I got that I like the most, I got some pajama bottoms, I got some t-shirts, I got, what else did I get? Well, one of the things that my wife and I do for each other every year is Disney passes, you know, the Southern California discount Disney passes, and that's our gift to each other for, you know, the entire year, because that's just something that we enjoy, and we use not frequently enough, but enough to justify our investment into that, because that's our entertainment. We try to go up as frequently as we can and enjoy the atmosphere, if not the rides and the attractions and just the magic that is Disneyland. It didn't happen at Christmas, but that's one of the things that gets looped into gifts for each other at Christmas. But one of the things that I really enjoy is a nice boot pair of slippers. Not like Uggs at all, because they're not, but kind of more like moccasins. I don't know the name. I don't know the brand. They were just kind of wrapped there, and it was lovely. And so they keep my feet real warm. In fact, sometimes they keep my feet so warm, my feet sweat. So I know that they're good, at least right now. So I'm really enjoying those. Another thing I want to briefly touch on here in a secondary topic, being that it's this time of year, especially here in California, where we actually are getting some rain, and this season we're getting just some unusually cold fronts coming through. It's been cold at night, but the rain is what I'm mostly talking about. Now, I don't know where it is where you live, because I don't know where you live, but here in California, it's the law to, during the day, if it's raining and you're driving with your windshield wipers on, your headlights must be on. That's part of the law. Turn your headlights on. And now, to me, it's just common sense. It just makes sense to turn your damn headlights on so people in the rain can see you better. That's just, I don't know, it's common sense to me. Just, you know, think it through. Should I have them on or off? Well, it'll be easier to see the car if I have them on. Okay, I'm going to turn them on. That's my thought. People who don't turn them on, I have no idea why they don't think that way. I don't. I can't fathom that. But besides the fact that they can't fathom it, it's a law and has been for at least 10 years, if not a little bit more. And still so many freaking people drive without the headlights on while it's pouring down rain. So you're having a hard time looking through the windshield trying to dive the damn highways here. And they don't have their lights on. Coupled with the fact that people in California treat rainy weather the same as they would bright, sunny, sunshine day weather, because they don't stop to think about the wetness on the road until the first barrage or even second and third barrage of accidents start to happen. Then people start to say, oh, I better slow down. I don't want to get into an accident. Yeah, you can't drive 75 in the pouring down rain, at least not on the roads here. Not anywhere, I think, but I'm sure there are certain conditions where, you know, you could. Not that I would, but you get my point. So I can't fathom how people cannot turn their damn headlights on when it's raining. I mean, if you're one of those Southern California listeners, you know, or listeners in California, and you don't turn on your headlights, please turn your headlights on. It just makes it so much easier for all the other cars around you to see you so they do not hit you. I mean, to me, that's the point of, you know, driving, not getting in an accident. So that's just me. But turn your damn headlights on, please. All right, one of the last things I want to talk about in secondary topic, and right up front here, I'm just going to say I'm not going to give anything away. Okay, there's no spoilers given in this next little tidbit section here, because that's just wrong. What I am going to talk about, though, is my experience with Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens. Now, I'm old enough to have been able to see all previous six in the theater when they were released in 77, 80, and then, and what is it, 82 or 83? 83, I believe. Plus the 1, 2, and 3 that came out in the 90s. I was able to see all three in the theater. And so seeing number 7 in the theater was part of that legacy, you know, being able to have that experience on the big screen. And so Rebecca and I got to see it opening weekend, and it was so much fun. It was a midnight showing, well, technically a 12:15, but still, you know, midnight showing on the Friday night, just because that's how our schedules worked out. And it was lovely. It was so fun to be on that journey and adventure again in a new way where you're not sure what's coming next. And with all the other six, you know what's coming next because you've seen them before, or, you know, they've been around long enough that you've heard enough about them. So it was in that, it was just an awesome experience. I mean, coupled with seeing it with my wife is, you know, fun as well, but I'm talking about my personal experience. It reminded of me when I did see 4, 5, and 6 in the theater when they first came out. I just remember just being so thrilled, specifically waiting for number 5 and then waiting for number 6. That wait was, it's indescribable. It really is indescribable to somebody who has not experienced it. Because, and it's lost. Because now movies are made so fast. We have, not only that, but we also have home viewing. We didn't have that when I was a kid. That didn't come in till my early teens. Maybe a couple years before that. But, I mean, every household having it wasn't really until my teens when every household had a VCR. Because VCRs were considered more of a luxury item than a quote-unquote necessity. And now they are, because, you know, nobody's home to watch anything. In fact, they're not even, VCRs aren't even around anymore. They're digital recorders. And now those are starting to go away because of things like Netflix and Hulu, everything entertainment on demand, and movies you can get on Amazon and iTunes and other places like that. You download it to your computer, download it to whatever, your cloud, and watch it at your leisure. I love that. That wasn't around. So there was a constant longing, anticipation of what was next. And since there was no internet, you couldn't search out little tidbits of information and little articles, you know, that are now released that through Twitter, you know, somebody said something on such and such about whatever, you know, bam, that's across the globe and everybody knows that tidbit of information, whatever it may be, you know, well... The big three came back for number 7, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford. you know, knowing that those, that was big information when that was released. It was released a while ago, so I don't consider that a spoiler. But that was, you know, that information was not released and not as frequent. And if it was, it was in trade papers and trade magazines. It wasn't in the Daily News. It wasn't in, like, the Los Angeles Times or the New York Times. I mean, it might have been, but it wouldn't be upplayed. It would be a little tiny article in the bottom. You know, nobody would be all that excited about it. Well, those big three returning to number seven would be big news, but I'm using that as an example, okay? But usually stuff like that, the special effects person came back in to do this one. Oh, wow, that's great information. Now is readily available at the internet, but back then it was only in trade shows and trade conventions and magazines and things. So not everybody knew it all the time or could look it up any time. So the anticipation and the surprise was greater and vaster. Plus, we had to wait 3 years. Now, we only have to wait a year and a half, 2 years, I think, to get the next one, number eight. So the waiting process is different. Well, plus, now you'll be able to watch all seven at home before you even go see number eight. That wasn't possible. Select households that chose to have the only form of cable available back in the day was, there might be others, but I only remember specifically the brand names On TV and Select TV, and it was one station. You went to, like, channel number 3 on your dial, literal dial, and then that tuned into your, you know, box, your On TV box, or your Select TV box, in which you would turn that on at the given time, whatever it would be, 8 o'clock, you know, you'd look at the TV guide or the Select TV or the On TV guide and know that Wednesday at 8 o'clock is going to be the movie, well, let's just say Star Wars, number 4, A New Hope. You know, so yeah, you sat down, you watched that, and that was cable. Now, shit, any time of day you can flip through and find nothing to watch, which is one of the reasons why we don't have standard cable television. Because the internet is awesome. Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. I mean, with just that alone, you don't even need to watch the movies that I've purchased. Over the years, I've collected a good number of movies, and I haven't watched them in I don't know how long. Partially because of storage, but also because of streaming television. So life, obviously, was so different back then. And so even if... you know, we still have the anticipation of number 8. Little bits of information are going to be leaked out, sneaked out, whatever it may be, readily available on the internet. Somebody's going to put together a video or a blog about whatever they've heard, or somebody's going to go, you know, on set and interview director, writer, actors, whatever. You know, that stuff's all out there. Somebody's going to get him on a podcast, you know, maybe Chris Hardwick on The Nerdist or something, right? So media has totally changed, but with the anticipation that I had of number 7 and finally getting into the theater to see number 7, it made me feel like the 7 or 8 year old kid that went and saw Empire Strikes Back when it first came out. Because that was the first big anticipation. Oh, what? Star Wars was good? He's making another one? Wow. And then as soon as you heard that, then you had, when do we have to wait? 3 years? Okay. You know, so big difference. And it's still there. The anticipation and the excitement of waiting for the next one is still there. But because information and media and all that has changed, it's different. It's slightly different. But I am looking forward to number 8. I'll say that much. And number 7, it just... yeah, I know some people came out and saying that it's predictable, and that others have said that, yeah, it's just the same type of story that number 4 was, and you know, you kind of saw where the twists and turns came from, and this, that. Okay, fine. You know, there are only so many stories to tell, and only so many twists that you can give them. That, yeah, stories are going to be the same. It's hard to reinvent the wheel. And, yeah, this one might be a little bit predictable. But that's the universe. That's the story. That's the journey. That's part of the process of the master teaching the apprentice. That's the story of the backbone of Star Wars. I mean, the anthology Star Wars. So yeah, it's going to be a bit predictable. There's going to be a master. There's going to be a mentor. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. There's going to be light. There's going to be dark. There's going to be yin. There's going to be yang. It's, you can almost expect that from the Star Wars franchise. And then the effects. For me, the effects definitely reminded me of the first released 3, 4, 5, and 6. How they blended, you know, special effects technology at the time, whether it be green screen or matte painting, or I mean, there was computer manipulation and coloring and such, but yeah, there wasn't, you know, full cities created. But in this one, it really blended the two worlds of special effects and practical effects, and it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And like I said, the best thing I can say about it is it made me feel like that 8-year-old child waiting with anticipation to finally sit down and watch Empire Strikes Back. So if you haven't seen Star Wars, go and see it. I mean, I know it's not for everybody. Some people just don't like or don't care for science fiction. I get it. That's your thing. That's totally fine by me. But if you've never really experienced Star Wars because you're the type of person that, oh, that's so popular, I don't really care, I understand the story. Okay, yeah, so you understand the story, you get the gist of it, yeah, it's fine. It is such a thrill of its own in number 7, and in just knowing a few iconic pop culture references, you'll still enjoy it. I think you'll still enjoy it. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to number 8. If you enjoyed number 7 or have anything to say about number 7, send me an email, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com, or post it on the Facebook page, Changes in Latitudes Podcast, and let me know. I'm curious what you, my fans, my listeners, my friends out there in the world, thought about that particular movie, if you've seen it. And if you happen to be the small type of crowd that's waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray or, you know, home viewing or whatever they're going to do, I get it. I get it. Some people just don't like to go to the movie theater. I'm okay with that. This one is one that I had to see in the theater for, well, obvious reasons, I hope. So I'm curious what you think of it. All right, now I'm going to mention something. I'm putting it here in secondary topic because it just makes sense. But this is kind of a recap of the previous year and change. And it's basically the episodes that I highly, highly suggest that you listen to because of the information contained within them. First of all, listen to number 3. Episode number 3, very early on. It may not be the best, but the information inside, you're going to learn about the band and why I use the band the way that I do. The band for the show, every show. Check out episode 45. I talk about my battle with dyslexia and what a challenge it is for me at times. And it's reflected, especially longtime listeners will get it. Longtime listeners will know and understand that it affects my podcasting at times. So check out number 45 if you haven't. We'll make a little more sense of me, who I am. Absolutely check out episode 52. Episode 52 is when I really came to terms with understanding that I am gender queer, gender fluid. And that's the area in the world of gender identity, the gender spectrum that I like to fall into and be labeled and categorized and define myself as and show the world as. So there's that. And also, as I said earlier in the show, please check out iTunes and Stitcher and give us ratings and reviews. It really, really helps the show grow. Listener feedback. Listener feedback. Here we are. We don't really have any. Don't really have any listener feedback in the last few weeks. And, you know, that's okay. Because it's been the holidays. It's been, the weather's been kind of funky and weird all over, at least in America, from what I've seen. Hot weather when it's usually cold, cold weather where it's usually warm, you know, large storms. I mean, we all know it's an El Nino year, so yeah, it's going to be a little weird all over and all around. So I get that. You don't get a chance to, you know, respond to a podcast that you're listening to because you're, you know, driving safely or something, you know, or you're busy visiting family and friends, and I get it. That's cool. So I understand why there's probably not a lot of listener feedback. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I still get that regular base of listeners that do get back to me. And I've mentioned them all in the show, in previous shows. I've mentioned them all. I don't even need to go through the list. I've mentioned them all. And if you're a new first-time listener, you'll really listen to the last, what, six or so, 10 or so episodes, and you'll have heard a good number of the longtime followers. And if not, check out the Facebook page. They're all over that. They're liking it. They're sharing the pieces. Yeah, so I get that. But it's the ones that are out there not saying anything, and I understand some of you can't say anything right now. I get it. Totally cool. But let me know what you want to hear about, if nothing else. And I won't mention you on the show if you don't want to. Won't do it at all. Totally respect you. Just as, you know, I hope that everyone out there respects me. So that's the only listener feedback I can give. Let me know your thoughts on the show. Send your thoughts for improvement. Send me what you want to hear about. And I'll throw it into the show to answer your needs, to fill in your needs. All right, before we get out of listener feedback, I am about almost halfway through with my 22 of this Black Marlin Porter. So I've had about a beer, you know, a 12-ounce beer. Now, usually when I get this in the bars, if they have it in the bars or at the Ballast Point tasting room, well, usually I go for a pint or just shy of a pint, 10 ounces, 8 ounces, because usually I'll follow it up with something else if I'm in the tasting room for sure. But I'm about 12 ounces in, and the alcohol is 6% by volume, so it's a little higher than your average beer, not as strong as some of the other darker beers that are out there, or other IPAs even, because some of the IPAs out there are really high in content, but it's, I'm feeling relaxed, I'm feeling good, and I'm just, like I said, I'm sipping it, I'm enjoying it. I know people that would down almost, quote-unquote, down a 22, but I really enjoying the beer, even though I can't describe it. So as I said, if you're over 21, at least in the States, and you enjoy alcoholic beverages, specifically beer, dark beer, check out, see if you can find Ballast Point. You'll thank me for it later. Here we are. We finally made it to the end. Enough rambling, enough tangents, enough crazy stories. We finally made it. Well, again, Happy New Year, everyone. January 1st, 2016. Don't make the mistake that I've done so many times so far, and I've written 16 instead of, or written 15 instead of 16 as the date some places. Because, you know, that just makes you feel foolish after looking at it. At least for me it does. And I hope you're enjoying this holiday, this new year holiday. Whatever your resolutions are, change them into goals. Make them a goal. And readjust your goals if you have to. It's just part of life. Or at least for me it is. Alright, next episode. I haven't quite figured out a title yet, but I'm going to talk about my family's reaction to, well, me coming out as trans, which I've talked about previously, but I'll kind of recap it. But more importantly, I'll spend some time on when I came out as genderqueer. So, that's next episode. I'm always looking for guests. Reach out to me, changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com, or message me over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/changesinlatitudespodcast. Be sure to check out our blog spot for all show notes and other information and links to everything you're going to need. RSS link, iTunes, Stitcher. We've got an audience survey there. You can fill out a survey anonymously. We all past episode links. I've got a player page. Yeah, there's a lot there. Oh, including Amazon affiliate link. Do your Amazon shopping through us, and for every dollar you spend, pennies come back to us and help out the show. We also have a PayPal donate button. You can leave us a tip. Buy us a drink. You know, buy me a $5 coffee. Buy me $10 lunch. Whatever you think your time is worth, my time is worth, whatever, however you want to justify it, you can use the PayPal donate button. Or check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/changesinlatitudespodcast. And now, as Jimmy Buffett says, if I couldn't laugh, I just would go insane. If we couldn't laugh, we just would go insane. If we weren't all crazy, we would go insane. Stay crazy, everyone. Happy New Year. Take care of yourselves and take care of someone else. I'll catch you next week. Listening to Changes in Latitudes, a transgender experience. I'd love to hear from you, so let me know what you think or what you'd like to hear about by emailing me at changesinlatitudespodcast@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on the Facebook page at facebook.com/changesinlatitudespodcast or at the website changesinlatitudespodcast.blogspot.com. Don't forget to subscribe in Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcatcher, and please leave us reviews and star ratings. Now, wait for it. Here it comes. Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! Disclaimer time! I am not a doctor nor a lawyer, and I certainly do not pretend to be one. I am a trans woman who began her transition later in life. I am here to discuss my life, so I take no responsibility for your decisions based on my personal thoughts and experiences. If you are thinking about transition or are questioning your gender identity, first, please know that you are not alone in your thoughts and questions. Second, please seek the advice of a qualified gender therapist or at the very least a local support group. If you're having difficulty finding a qualified professional in your area, I suggest reaching out to the closest LGBT center near you. And lastly, please remember, always question the source when researching information on the internet. All contents are distributed under a Creative Commons No Derivative license and may be shared freely in their entirety. Any alteration or less than complete reproduction requires permission from the host. Copyright 2016 by me, Charlie Sabrina Miller. Thanks for listening. That's the end of the show, and always remember this.